الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم. يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم، هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers and young ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The program that has been arranged today is a sort of interactive type of workshop on one of the great pillars of Islam. Something that perhaps is done, if it is done correctly, but without really thinking anymore that it is in fact an act of worship. It is not a burden. It is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Because every command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, there are four logical reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do a certain thing. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do something or to abstain from it, either because He benefits from it. He has commanded us to pray, to give zakat, to go for hajj, because He gets some type of benefit out of it. So this is mahal, it is impossible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our acts of worship. The second possibility is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we benefit but 50% and He benefits 50%. So this also is something that is impossible. The third possibility is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do something or asks us to abstain from something, but there is no liyan benefit for anyone. So this is also something that is impossible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not command us to do things in vain, just for nothing, just because perhaps He just wants to see us doing something. So we are left with the last possibility, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do something and the benefit 100% is ours. These acts of charity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained upon us, has made farz upon us, it is obligatory upon us, it is farz. There is great wisdom behind these acts of charity as well. In the capitalist system, the distribution of wealth is limited to the factors of production. In the capitalist system, in other words, they say that capital is a factor of production. So the person who provides the capital must get interest. Land is a factor of production. The person who gives the land must get a rent for it. And they say that labor is a factor of production. So labor must get wages. And the entrepreneur, the owner of something, is a factor of production, so that entrepreneur must get the profits. It is limited. The distribution of wealth is limited. In socialism, the same thing. But in Islam, the distribution of wealth is not limited to only these factors of production. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In the wealth of the believers, there is a known right. It is a right. لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. For the one who is the beggar and the one who is deprived. He has not got the same economic or financial standing as you. So, he has a right in your wealth as well. And this assists in narrowing the gap between the rich and the poor. In assisting people to live above the poverty line. What we, you know, it is very, very strange sometimes that we have, and very, very ironical, that they have international seminars on the alleviation of poverty. And billions of dollars are spent on those very seminars. Billions of dollars are spent on those very seminars, and they're trying to alleviate poverty from the world. Something very strange. Just 2 or 3 weeks back, I think the G8 nations sat down to discuss the rising food prices. And in their meeting, they had a 16-course meal. You know, very ironical, all these things, how it happens. Today, I was shocked to hear that for the 4-hour ceremony, opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, they spent 700 million rand for this 4-hour ceremony. Can you imagine? 700 million rand. So all these things, you know, there is great wisdom behind the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this seminar is for that, to understand a little bit. Of course, we cannot go into every single detail, neither will we be able to answer every single action, every single question. But so that we can create a little bit of thirst, so that we can take a step in the right direction. We can become a little bit more aware when we calculate our zakat, when we have to distribute our zakat. It is not just calculated in a haphazard manner. It is not distributed in a haphazard manner. Rather, we make sure, because it is like our salah. Just as how namaz is farz, zakat is also farz. It is, and that is why Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned that in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that distribute your zakat, or he did not say that give your zakat, but rather he said, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ أَپْنِي zakat ko ada karo. Perform your zakat. You know, like how you have to perform your namaz. It is an act of worship. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that towards the time of Qiyamah, when Qiyamah will get close, then one of the signs of Qiyamah will be that people will take وَالزَّكَاةُ مَغْرَمَا. People will take zakat to be a tax. It will be a burden upon them. That is why we get telephone calls sometimes to ask whether if we had 10,000 rand last year and we've got 15,000 rand this year, do we have to pay zakat on 15,000 this year or only on the 5,000 that we've got? Now, you know, this sort of mentality, of course we have to pay zakat on the 15,000. It is whatever you own at the time of the zakatable year. But this mentality stems from where? It stems from this income tax where we don't pay on what we had on savings. We only pay on what we earn during the course of the year. It stems from there. So zakat should not be a burden. It should be that we do it voluntarily. And that is why, I don't know, perhaps some of the elders amongst us might remember that there was a time, there was a verse of poetry in Urdu that one of the poets used to read, and it was very, very famous, that ek roz mu'mino tumhe marna zarur hai, padte raho namaz ye qaul-e rasool hai. So our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, one of his khulafa, has written the same, on the same style about zakat. So I'll just recite one or two verses of that before we go ahead. He says, ek roz momino tumhe marna zarur hai, ek roz momino tumhe marna zarur hai, dete raho zakat ye qaul e rasool hai, dete raho zakat ye qaul e huzur hai, dete raho zakat to chehre pe noor hai, dete nahi zakat to apna qusoor hai, ek roz momino tumhe marna zarur hai. He says, O believers, we have to die one day. How much are we going to gather and gather and gather? Dete raho zakat ye qaul e huzur hai. Continue giving your zakat regularly in the correct manner, because this is the injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dete raho zakat to chehre pe noor hai. Continue giving your zakat and there will be noor and light on your face. Or dete nahi zakat to apna kusoor hai. And if you don't give zakat, then it's going to be your fault, your sin.
Hey qalb par gira ye ibadat ajeeb hai. Hey qalb par gira ye ibadat ajeeb hai. Par is amal ki dost fazilat ajeeb hai. Deta hai jo zakat khuda ke qareeb hai. Jo isse ji churaye bada badnaseeb hai.
He says that this ibadat is very, very difficult upon the heart. Hey qalb par gira ye ibadat ajeeb hai. It's a very, very strange ibadat, because it's difficult upon the heart. And the more rich a person is, I always say it is more difficult for him to give charity. The poor man, if he has 100 rand, he doesn't feel it difficult to give 10 rand away. But it is 10% of his wealth, and he doesn't feel it difficult. It is not as difficult as the person who might have perhaps 9,500 rand, and for him to give 500 rand away, you know, he's looking forward to 4 digits, 10,000 rand. For him to give that 500 rand away, or that 100 rand away even, is very, very difficult. He qalb par gira ye ibadat ajeeb hai. Par is amal ki dost fazilat ajeeb hai. But the fazilat of it is also very, very strange. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that zakat does not remain in anyone's wealth except that it destroys it. That is why it is so important to account for our zakat, not to just give it on estimations, or sometimes even guesstimations. You know, just to give the zakat on an estimate, or just guess. We have to account for our zakat. Account for the trading stock that we have. Account for the gold, silver. Account for the cash that we have at hand. Account for the properties that we have purchased with the niyat and intention of investments. And give the zakat of that, because even if it is a rand short, then that rand will cause destruction to the rest of our wealth. Now, whereas this is on the one side for the giver, people on the other hand who are deserving or to receive zakat find it very, very hard to receive zakat. They say that it is filthy money. It is filthy for the giver, but it is absolutely clean and pak to receive it for the receiver. That is something else that we need to understand. So he says, Deta hai jo zakat khuda ke qareeb hai. The person who gives zakat, he is going to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels make dua for the person. Allahumma a'ati munfiqan khalafa. Wa a'ati mumsikan talafa. The angels make this dua. Can you imagine? Is the dua going to be rejected? The angels are making the dua that, Oh Allah, give the one who spends in your path, who discharges his zakat obligation, grant him more wealth. And those who hoard, they do not spend their zakat, then destroy their wealth. The angels make this dua. So, deta hai jo zakat khuda ke qareeb hai, jo isse ji churaye bada badnaseeb hai. And the person who tries and wiggles his way out of it, he is very badnaseeb. He is unfortunate, wretched, the person who tries. So, nevertheless, This is what we need to understand. Nabi Ali, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, the verse that was recited, that وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the person who treasures his wealth, he hoards his wealth, he gathers it up, and he does not take out the zakat, the obligatory charity on that wealth, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, then give them glad tidings of a very, very painful punishment. Painful punishment. يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمٍ, and what will that painful punishment be when their wealth will be branded in the fire of Jahannam, will be burnt and melted in the fire of Jahannam, and their foreheads and their sides and their back will be burnt with it. فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُ, and the wealth will say, or they will be told, هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, this is what you gathered for yourself. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ, now taste the effects of this gathering of your wealth. In another verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, destroyed, if I'm not mistaken, Mawlana also discussed this surah on one occasion in this masjid, that destroyed be the ones who take out faults with others and who mock and jeer at others. أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا, and they gather their wealth and they keep counting it. Is not this our condition as well? That those who are a little bit wealthy, I've seen a person who perhaps 2-3 times in the day he will phone up his property agent and find out what's the value of that property now. You know? And what's the value of his shares? الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا, he gathers his wealth and he keeps on counting it. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدًا, he feels that this wealth will allow him to live forever. كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ, he will be put into a raging fire. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ, نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ, it is a fire that is ignited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a fire that is been lit by man, which could be blown off with a little bit of water or sand or with a fire brigade. No, it is the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will burn in it for not giving his zakat. Now why is it? Why is the punishment so severe? Because let us analyze all the faculties that we have, all the everything that we have, the faculty of our hearing, our intellect, our seeing, the ni'mat of wealth, the mercy of a good home, a factory, a business, a vehicle, all of this is from who? It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can say that we do a little bit, but who is the one who sends, we open the shop, and that is about it. Who is the one who sends the customers to that shop? We put a seed into the ground, but that is about it. Who is the one? أَفَرَأَيْتُمُنْ أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ, we only put the seed into the ground. Who is the one that makes it blossom into a flower, and from a flower into a tree, and from trees into fruits? And those fruits then become the risk and sustenance of millions of people around the world. Who is it? So everything that we have belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ, have they not seen that we have created for them these animals? Everything we have done for them, we have created for them. This is the verse of Surah Yasin. فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ, and we have made them the owners of it. We have made them the owners. We have allowed them to be happy, you know, that you own it, okay. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything, then the right of that wealth was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have told us that you spend 97.5% for zakat and you can keep 2.5% for yourselves. That was a right. It would not have been injustice. It would have been perfectly just, adal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to spend only 2.5% and keep 97.5% for yourselves. and calculate it correctly, do everything right, and it is yours. You know, the rest, 97.5%. Now, if we can't do even this much, are we not deserving of that punishment then? يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. Then we are worthy and deserving of such a punishment. So this is the gist behind this whole aspect of zakat. We can discuss, we'll just discuss a few of the important masail of zakat, some things that perhaps have to do with us. They happen when we calculate our zakat, we want to find out things. And then we will open the floor for about 15 to 20 minutes for some questions perhaps. First of all, we need to understand that this zakat is only 2.5% from our wealth. But it becomes wajib upon a person, it becomes obligatory upon a person when he owns the value of nisab. Now the value of nisab used to be 200 dirhams. And a dirham used to be in those times a silver coin. Just give you a little bit of background to how they came up. So sometimes we wonder, you know, where they got, because they say sare bawan tola chandi, 52.5 tolas of silver, if you got the value of that, or 617.5 grams or something to that effect of silver, if you have the value of that. So where did they get that, those values from? So it came from there, that it was 200 dirhams, 200 silver coins. And that weighed, that sare bawan tola chandi, that's how much it weighed, because it was silver coins. Or it weighed 617.5 grams of silver. Which is approximately nowadays, I think I just checked it up a few days back, 3030 rands approximately. But it keeps on changing, the value of these things keep on changing, except especially in our volatile markets nowadays. So it's about 3000 rands. So if a person has 3000 rands, at the beginning or at any time in his life, and that 3000 rands remains with him until the end of the year, and for 1 year. For example, he got these 3000 rands on the 1st of Muharram, and he had 3000 rands on the 1st of Muharram the next day, in the next year. So he has to pay zakat on this wealth. Now it is not necessary that he had the 3000 rand throughout the year. It could have become 2000 rand, it could have become 1000 rand. But if he has these 3000 rands at the beginning of the year, and the 3000 rands at the end of the year, then he needs to pay zakat on that. That is, I think, one mas'ala. Yes, if that 3000 rand became zero at any part of the year, during any part of the year, say in Muharram, he had 3000 rand and then Ramzan was coming, so he went and did his Ramzan shopping, so now he got zero. So now his year has cancelled. Now when he gets that nisab again, his year, he'll have to start calculating the zakat again from there. That is if it becomes totally zero. But so long as he has even a cent, then it will be counted. So that is one mas'ala. Another misconception that we have is that many of us feel that 1 year has to pass on every single, you know, sum of money that we earn. So for example, if I have 10,000 rand today, and I get another 10,000 rand, today is Sha'ban, so if I get another 10,000 rand in Ramadan, then next year Sha'ban I have to pay on these 10,000 rands, and in Ramadan I'll have to pay on the other 10,000 rands. So this is also a misconception. We have to look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us. We do not have to worry and calculate and account for every time we get money coming in, and every time, that means every day of the year, some of us will have to pay zakat and calculate the zakat. So it is not like that. What he has to do is, he has to calculate at the beginning of his zakat bal year. And that is another misconception that we have, that we feel that the zakatable year is Ramadan to Ramadan. This is just for convenience that people pay the zakat in Ramadan. Otherwise, in reality, You have to pay the zakat of your wealth from the time you became sahib-e-nisab. You became sahib-e-nisab in Muharram or in Safar or in Rabiul Awwal. Then your zakat year is Muharram, Safar or Rabiul Awwal. But if you do not remember it, then you could fix the month of Ramadan. You should fix now one date and then stick to that date. Fix one date and then stick to that date for discharging your zakat. Preferably you should try and give a little bit extra so that you make up for a few days that might be off. You might have become sahib-e-nisab earlier, but you are declaring your zakat in the month of Ramadan. So what I was saying was that if a person has got 10,000 rands today, and his zakatable year is the first of Ramadan, and one day before that, he got another 10,000 rands. So he has to pay zakat on 20,000 rands, even though that zakat, that money only stayed with him for one day. Even though the money stayed with him for a single day, but because he has got 20,000 at the end of the zakatable year, he has to pay zakat on 20,000 rands. So that is one thing. Another aspect that we need to understand is that zakat is, which things are zakat wajib on? Which things do we have to pay zakat on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the owner of everything and has asked us to give 2.5%, and that too, not from everything. Many of the things that we possess, and perhaps the more expensive things, we don't even have to pay zakat on them. Like the house that we have to live in, or someone might have a holiday apartment where he goes and stays once a year in, or once in 10 years in, but he didn't purchase it with the niyat and intention of selling it, then there is no zakat on these items. You need to pay zakat on your wealth, on the cash that we have in the banks, the gold and silver that we have, whether that gold and silver is in the form of jewelry, in the form of utensils, in the form of coins. Zakat is payable upon gold and silver and cash that is on hand. With regards to gold and silver, again, there is another misconception. Many people feel that the gold and silver that the lady, woman folk are using, because they use it, there is no zakat on that. So this also is a misconception. According to the Hanafi school, zakat is wajib on that gold and silver as well. And if we do not have cash to discharge that zakat, then we need to sell off some of that gold and silver and pay the zakat. So some person asked Mufti Taqi Usmani, my ustad, that Mufti Sahib, if we are going to sell our gold and silver and then pay the zakat of it, then a time will come when we'll have no more gold and silver left, because it'll get finished. So he said, no, such a time won't come. The person said, why won't it come? He said, because once you go under 52.5 tolas, then zakat won't be wajib anymore. So 52.5 tolas you must have still. You will always have that amount. So on our gold and silver, we have to pay zakat. And whether that gold and silver is for use or it is not for use, we have to pay zakat on that. Yes, the gold and silver that we have given to our nabaligh children, those children that are not baligh, they have not reached the age of puberty, and we have given it to them in such a way that we are not going to take it back from them, and we are not going to give it to anyone. It is theirs, it is their property. Then on those things, there is no, on that gold and silver, there is no zakat until that child reaches the age of puberty. Once that child becomes baligh, then there is. Now, after hearing these sort of masail, you know, these sort of rulings, many of the parents, the mother might say, you know, I'd rather transfer everything to the daughter's name for now, at least for a couple of years, I won't have to pay zakat. And then I'll be able to use it still, because she's my daughter's. And until she's baligh, at least there's no zakat, and they call it liability. You know, there's no zakat liability. So this is also something we need to be very careful about, you know, who we are trying to fool. And what is our intention behind doing something? Yes, if we want to give it to them, by all means do give it to them. But then the niyat and intention must be, of course you won't, if you have to give it to them even with the wrong intention, in this world you won't have to pay zakat on it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what a person's intention is. So that is another aspect. The third aspect that we have to pay zakat on is maal-e tijarat, goods in trade, stock in trade. Many people who have businesses, they have lots of stock in trade, and they ask, on what value must we pay the zakat? So zakat is payable upon the market value of those goods. The market value of those goods. Now one person asked me that should we pay on the wholesale market value or on the retail market value? So this is also a valid question, because there is a difference between the wholesale and the retail. So remember the principle. What the principle is, that if I have to sell these goods now, the whole lot now, that is on the zakatable date, on the date when you have to pay your zakat, the value of those goods on that particular date, if I have to sell the whole good, the goods now, whether I'm a wholesaler or I'm a retailer, whatever I have in my shop, if I have to sell it to one person, what will I fetch in the market for that? And you have to be very, very precautious in making that estimate. It's left to a person what you are going to fetch for that. That is what the value on which you have to pay zakat on. That is the value on which you have to pay zakat. Now in this, goods in trade, many, many things will fall into this. Like, for the manufacturer, he'll have to pay on his raw material as well. Because they are in effect goods in trade. He's going to process that raw material, he's going to manufacture something, and he's going to sell it. So he'll have to pay on his raw material as well, take the value of his raw material as well. Of course, the finished product will have a different value from the raw material. You know, all these are intricacies in zakat. That's why it is so important to discharge it correctly and account for it correctly. A manufacturer will have, or even sometimes a retailer, will have packaging material. Cartons. Now, cartons are also considered to be stock in trade. Although he does not directly sell it, he is not a person who is selling cartons. But is it not included in the cost of his goods when he does his costings? Then packaging is included, and the total markup that he has, 25% or 10% or 15%, it is 15% of those cartons as well. So he is selling those cartons, so he has to pay zakat on that as well. But things like his machinery, the vehicles that he has in his business, the furniture and fittings that he has, the equipment that he has, the building that he has, there is no zakat on any of these items. The zakat is on the trading stock. Anything that you purchase with the niyat of resale. You have to pay attention to the words. The words are very important. Anything that you purchase with the niyat of resale, that is zakatable. Every word here has a meaning. If I own something without purchasing it, and I intend to sell it, then there is no zakat on that. There is no zakat. For example, I inherited something, and my intention is that I'm going to sell it. So I don't have to pay zakat on that. Anything that I purchase with the niyat of reselling, anything that I buy with the niyat of selling, on that there is zakat. If someone gives me a gift, and I want to sell it, there is no zakat on the value of that. Yes, once I sell it and I receive the cash, then that cash will become part of my cash in hand and I have to pay zakat on that. But on that item per se, there is no zakat. Right? On diamonds, on asbestos, expensive platinum. Yeah, double the price of gold nowadays. So on this, there is no zakat. On diamonds. If a person buys diamonds to put into his gold jewelry, then on the gold jewelry there will be zakat, but on the diamonds there is no zakat.
If he bought the diamonds to sell, in other words, he bought it as an investment. You know, many people buy these things as investments, they think they don't have to pay zakat on it. But once you buy it for as an investment, you buy it to sell. Investment effectively means that. Unless, of course, he buys a property to give it out on rent, then there is no zakat on it. But if he buys the property as an investment, that one day when the price is right, he's going to sell it, then he has to pay zakat on the market value of that property every year. If he bought the property to rent out, then he doesn't have to pay zakat on that, property. So these are aspects that affect us. Nowadays, another aspect that affects us is zakat on shares. Zakat on shares. And we get many, many questions with regards to zakat on shares. So let us understand well that a person buys a share with two intentions. One of two intentions. Either he buys the share to sell it, what they call capital gains. He buys it for capital gains. So he buys it to sell it, to turn around his money. Perhaps he'll buy it today, tomorrow the share price goes up 10%, he sells it. So then these shares, because he has bought them to sell it, they become part of his stock in trade, and he has to pay zakat on the full value of those shares. Whatever is the full market value, again remember, the market value of those shares. Not on the face value of the shares. I don't know, some shares their face value is 2 rand, but the market value is 100 rands. So you have to pay zakat on the market value of the share, not on the face value of that share. The other reason why a person buys a share is to benefit from the dividend of that company. In other words, he wants to actively participate as a partner of that company, and he wants to receive the dividend that is paid out biannually or annually. He wants to receive that dividend. So in this situation, the person has, he becomes a partner in that business. So like how any other partner has to pay zakat, he will also have to pay zakat, but he won't have to pay zakat on the full market value of the share. Because behind that share, there are so many other things. That share, 100 rand share, for example, say the share is 100 rands. And the company, the total value of the company is 100,000 rands. And if that company had 50,000 rand, was only the land and building and equipment, then 50 rands of that share is also representing land and buildings and equipment. Now, supposing from this 50 rand, from this 100 rand share, only 20 rand represents stock in trade, raw material, packaging material, then this person only has to pay zakat on the 20 rands of the share. This is provided he bought the share with the intention of participating in that business. Of course, he will have to go now through the financials and work out what is his proportionate share in the zakatable assets of that company. You know, it's a cumbersome task. It's not easy. But this is something that has to be done because it is ibadat. Is it not an ibadat? It is an act of worship. Now, because namaz is difficult, we don't come and read namaz anyhow. But everything is calculated. We recite the required number of verses. We recite it in the required manner. We do our ruku at the right time. Such that in the same way, zakat is also an ibadat. It needs to be treated such. So, these things. So, where it is easy to calculate it and a person is able to calculate it, then he has the leeway from the side of the Sharia to calculate his zakat on shares in this manner. And if not, then it is always precautious to give zakat on the full value of that share. He should then give zakat on the full value of the share. Then, just in conclusion, one or two aspects perhaps with regards to distributing the zakat. Distributing the zakat again is a very, very important aspect of zakat. The Quran Sharif deals with it in great detail. In where the verse of the Quran, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, 8 categories of people are mentioned in that verse of the Quran Sharif to whom we can give zakat to. We cannot give zakat for the printing of Quran Sharifs. No matter how noble that act might seem, for the building of masajid, for the paying of an imam's or imam's salary. Zakat cannot be used for these things, no matter how noble they might seem. It shows us another aspect, that with regards to ibadat, we do not use our intellect to understand why. The same, why zakat is not wajib on platinum, whereas it is more expensive than gold. Now if you start using your intellect, then you can come up with 101 excuses or 101 objections. But ibadat are not based on a person's intellect. It is based on the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it is 100,000 times better to read namaz in the Haram Sharif. But if a person says he is not going to Arafat on the day of Arafat and he is going to read his namaz in the Haram Sharif, his hajj will not be done. Or if he says today, for example, that I don't feel that seclusion in Arafat with so many hajis, I'll rather go today and make my hajj today, and I won't stay one day, I'll stay 3 days there. His hajj will not be done because he's not fulfilling it in the manner that he was told to fulfill it. So these things are not based on a person's intellect, on a person's understanding. They are based on the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have to give our zakat to these 8 categories of people. The fuqara, the masakin, the amilin, وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, all these people. No matter how noble other acts of charity might seem, other acts of benevolence might seem, but this is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for those acts, وَفِي الْمَالِ صَدَقَةٌ سِوَى الزَّكَاةِ, وَفِي الْمَالِ صَدَقَةٌ سِوَى الزَّكَاةِ, in wealth, your wealth has a right to charity besides zakat. Zakat is only the farz. But there are other acts also of charity that a Muslim must endeavor to keep up with, to do, to practice. So this is with regards to giving zakat. A person cannot give his zakat to his children. His children, his child is very, very poor, or he's struggling in life, he can't give zakat to him. The child cannot give the parent zakat. The husband cannot give the wife zakat. The wife cannot give the husband zakat. Just these two relations. In other words, your children and your parents you cannot give. The husband cannot give the wife. The wife cannot give the husband. But besides these, any one of your relatives you can give zakat to. Your khala, your puppy, your foi, your mamaji. Any one of them can be given zakat. A lot of people ask, do we have to disclose to them that we are giving them zakat? So you do not have to disclose to them that you are giving them zakat. In fact, it is better not to tell them, because they might feel hurt that you are giving them zakat. So you don't have to give them zakat. At least you don't have to tell them that you are giving them zakat. You can just give them without informing them that it is zakat. Of course, you must ascertain that the person does not have the person that is eligible to receive zakat also, you need to ascertain whether he is eligible to receive zakat, whether he falls under these 8 categories. If he is a person who has non-essential items to the value of nisab, non-essential items in his house, to the value of nisab, for example, he has got a television. A lot of the shacks nowadays have got television with the dish antenna outside. So, if he has got a television, then, and that television is worth the value of nisab, then he is not eligible to receive zakat, no matter how poor he might be. But if he has debts that surpass all those, that despite his zakatable assets and his non-essential items, and he has got debts, and the net result that he has is still negative, or it is less than the value of nisab, then you can give that person zakat. So it is not, you know, some people just say that it's, you can give whoever you want to. But at the same time now, we do not have to go into too much of detail. We have to try and ascertain. Don't go and ask the person directly if he will feel bad about it. That, look, are you eligible to receive zakat? Or do you have this? Do you have any debts? From here and there, try and ascertain whether this person is eligible to receive zakat. From his close friends, family members, we can
try and ascertain whether he is eligible to receive zakat. And then if he is eligible and your heart consents to that, your conscience says, yes, he is eligible to receive zakat, then you can give him zakat. And your zakat will inshallah be discharged. After all this, if a person goes through all this, and his heart consent, and he felt that yes, the person who I gave zakat to was eligible to give receive zakat. After that, if he was not eligible, for argument's sake, it turned out that no, he had money. Then, a very interesting masala also is that you do not have to repeat your zakat. Your zakat will be discharged. You do not have to give your zakat again. You know, your zakat will be discharged. Then, with regards to, I just missed up, we'll just stop in about 5 minutes, inshallah. With regards to debts that a person has, I owe a person money. For example, I owe Maulana Yusuf money. So that debt, I will deduct from my zakatable assets. This is the general law. Now, many people who with lots of money, they have got huge amounts of debts, despite the fact that they drive big cars and live in palatial homes. Not only if you have to calculate their balance sheet, that not only do they not have to pay zakat, but they are eligible to receive zakat. You know, despite the fact that they have this. So, the ulama, our contemporary scholars, ulama, have categorized these debts now into two categories. If a person takes a loan for some personal, you know, just a personal loan, because he required something and he took that, so that by all means that debt is deductible from your zakat. But if a person took a loan for his business or just to have a big, you know, mansion or drive a big car, then such a debt, you have to look at what you purchased by taking that debt. If you bought a zakatable asset with that debt, in other words, you bought stock in trade, you want to sell those goods now. So then you can subtract that debt, because you are going to pay zakat on the stock. So you subtract the debt. But if you bought a non-zakatable asset, then you cannot deduct that. Then you have to pay zakat on that also. So these were a few. If anyone has any questions, I say, I haven't had many question and answer sessions. Maulana refers to them as quarrels and arguments sometimes. I haven't conducted many, but one or two that I've conducted, I always tell them, you know, I have an answer to any one of your questions. Very few people will have an answer to any of you. And it is so simple, because if I know the answer, I say I know the answer. And if I don't know the answer, I say I don't know the answer. So that is also a response to your question. And saying La Adri, I don't know, the ulama have mentioned, it is nisful ilm. Half of knowledge is to say La Adri. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was asked, I think about 30 questions, and of that, more than 20, I think he said La Adri. A scholar of that nature. So if I have to say La Adri to many of your questions, then I think you should not be surprised. If you do not buy it with the intention to sell, if you bought it with the intention to live in it or as a holiday home, then there is there is no zakat on it then. But you sold it later on, you do not have to pay zakat on that. On the cash that you receive, not the following year, say you sold it the day before your zakat date. So you will have to pay zakat on your zakat date. The next day you will have to pay zakat on it. But say your zakat date is still 10 months away. So then if you have that cash with you after 10 months on that day, then you'll have to pay zakat on it. You will only deduct the debt on the stock in trade. The debt that you have got for machinery, you will not deduct that. Because you are going to pay zakat on the stock in trade. So you can deduct that debt. But you cannot deduct on the machinery. You know, it's always nice to interact and ask questions. We are living in such a time, sometimes I feel so happy that people still ask. Not because I want people to ask me or ask. In general, we are living in such times that it is even a ghanimat. It is, you know, it is a good thing that people are still asking questions. Therefore, if perhaps no questions come in your mind now, but you can always send, we've got now, I think they've told them to open a zakat page on the Darul Ihsan website. There will be some question and answers on that page, and you can even post your questions there, or to any other institution, to the Jamiat, to some of the Darul Ulooms, the Darul Iftas. Send your questions there, get a response, and then it makes a difference when you, you know, you practice with a clear mind. You see, this whole thing of trust also, it is a very, very specialized aspect. We have to ascertain that the person who created that trust, with what niyat and what intention did he create the trust? Did he create that trust just for tax benefits? Because there are a certain amount of tax benefits that you get when you create a trust. And his intention was not to pass on ownership. Say the trust was of a building. So his intention is not to pass on ownership. It is just for regulatory purposes, for tax benefits that he has created that trust. So he is the full owner of that trust. If he had bought that for resale, then whatever, he is has to pay zakat on it. And whatever cash is there in that trust belongs to him. So he has to pay zakat on it. But if his intention in the trust was to gift it over, you know, actually gift it over to his children or to the beneficiaries or whatever, so they are now the shari owners of that and they have to pay the zakat on it. Another angle that comes in, sometimes they create a trust with the niyat of waqf. You know, it is waqf and it now belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many properties a waqf. So then there's no zakat on that then. And so it depends now with what niyat, what intention that that person, supposing the trust was created, it was the person's ownership and it was not his intention to gift it over, but now he passed away. And now that trust, because it was his ownership, it forms part of his estate. Whoever the beneficiaries are in that trust from a Sharia point of view, that needs to go to his shari'i heirs, to his legal heirs. Yeah. So as long as the person has hope that he will receive it, he has to pay zakat for it every year. No, what are they receiving? They're receiving an amount from there. Right. He must pay on what he is receiving. On what he is receiving, he must pay. If he receives a greater sum later on, you see, does he, is he aware of the full value that is due to him? Is he aware of that? So he needs to pay on that full value then. So is there, you see, in this type of maslas, they normally ask, is there any hope that you will get your right figure, whatever is due rightly? So if there is no hope, it falls under mal-e zimar, lost wealth. It is gone. You don't have any hope of getting it, so there's no zakat on it. You don't have any hope of getting it, so there's no zakat on it. Like if a person, if I, for example, I owned a huge treasure and I buried it somewhere and I forgot about it, and I don't have any hope in my mind that I will ever find it, or someone stole it from me. Now that wealth is legally mine. 20,000 rand, say I had, and someone came and stole it from me. Now it's still my wealth. It doesn't belong to the person who took it away. But because I have no hope of getting it back, I don't have to pay zakat on it. Yes, debtors you have to pay zakat on. Yes, if there is a debtor who says he's not going to pay you. Because some people take money. I remember once, many, many years back, Maulana said that people take qarz-e hasana and they say qarz-e hasana means qarz leke haste rehna. To take the loan and carry on laughing.
So, if the person says he's not going to pay you, and you've lost all hope, you're going to write him off as a bad debtor, bad debt. So then you don't have to pay zakat on that debtor. But on other debtors, you have to pay zakat on. Where you have a hope of receiving the money, you have to pay zakat on that. Zakat, you can't give a Sayyid. A person who is from Banu Hashim, you can't give them zakat. If they are needy, and they require assistance, وَفِي الْمَالِ صَدَقَةٌ سِوَى الزَّكَاةِ. In wealth, there is sadaqah besides zakat. He can bequest in his will, but it will only be implemented from 1/3 of his estate. If he doesn't need the amount, then it's going to be... he must pay it before he dies. He must pay it before he dies. If he did not even bequest, then it is not even wajib on the heirs to give that zakat on his behalf. If they do it out of an act of goodwill on their part, then they will be rewarded for it, but it is not wajib. If he bequests, then that bequest will be carried out from 1/3 of his estate. Otherwise, it won't be carried out. For this also, the ulama have mentioned a method. You know, if it doesn't reach 1/3, 1/3 is not sufficient, then how to go about doing it? There's a way around it, which I don't want to mention here, but and also the truth is that I haven't read it for some time, but there is a method of doing it, where they distribute that wealth in a certain manner, and they make it reach that zakat, so it gets discharged. Yeah, on the land there is zakat also, and on the farmer. On the land there is ushar and kharaj. 1/10 of the produce, 1/10 of the produce needs to be given, provided that land is ushri land. Now for that there is a whole lot of other laws. But on his livestock that he has, sheep, cows, cattle, if those livestock are sa'ima, they call it, sa'ima, free grazing. Most of the year, they're not fodder fed, they graze freely. They're not fodder fed, they graze freely. Then he has to pay zakat on that. And there's a different nisab. For every 5 camels, there is 1 sheep. And then from 5 to 10, there's 2 sheep. And it goes on like this. You know, and for cows, it is the same nisab. For sheep, the nisab is 40. If you have 39 sheep, then there's no zakat on that. If you have 40 sheep, and those sheep are free grazing, then you have to give 1 sheep from there in zakat. And then the next, it goes to up to 200, if I'm not mistaken. And from there, you know, the nisab is different. The whole system is different. If there's not free grazing, then there's no zakat. That means if you're feeding them with fodder most of the year, they're not free grazing. They don't go and graze in the lands from the natural resources of the land. You are grazing, most of the time they are in your place where you're putting food for them, then there's no zakat on it. And if there's any other questions, time has expired also. If there's any other questions, you can send us. Ask someone, some organization, some this thing. There is a facility available on our website also. If we know the question answer, then we'll try our best to respond to it after making the relevant research. But the important thing is this program, it can't answer everyone's questions and it can't go through all the masail. It is just to create that little bit of thirst in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا بدل ما أبقيتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا، ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا غاية رغبتنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله